Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our Happy Healthy Hormones interview series. I'm really honored to introduce you today to Andrea Beeman. I'm so excited to have her on here. She and I went to the Institute of Integrated Nutrition and I've been following her for years. Love all of the healthy nuggets that she shares with us every week in her newsletters. And can't wait to kind of share with you a little bit about women's health and the thyroid. She is a natural food chef, health educator, thyroid expert, which we're gonna jam about today, holistic health coach, and herbalist. And you might recognize her. She was a featured contestant on Bravo's Top Chef, and she's regularly featured expert on CBS News and so many other amazing things that she does to help share the health message with the world. So thank you so much for joining us, Andrea.
Thanks for having me.
So excited. So, I've been starting the interviews off just like asking people's why, because I think in health, having that why, that purpose, that thing that really gets us out of bed every morning is so important to share with people, because we've all kind of had different waves and that we've gotten here. And I would love for you to share with everybody your personal journey.
Well, in a nutshell, I was not healthy. I was really a wreck. And I was a chronic dieter from the time that I was like 13 or 14 years old until I was diagnosed with my thyroid disease. And I was like, doctor said to me, you have to take radioactive iodine because I had a large goiter and I had hyperthyroid. And the doctor said, you have to take radioactive iodine and then you'll be on medication for the rest of your life. And I was like, I'm not taking radioactive anything. At the time I was 28 years old. And I said, I think that my diet, my lifestyle is total crap and I need to change it. And the doctor said, your diet and your lifestyle have nothing to do with your thyroid disease. Now this was, I was 28 years old. So it was 22 years ago, right? So things have changed a lot since then, but there still is that in modern medicine, there is this, they don't know how to heal the thyroid. They just give the body more thyroid hormone when the thyroid isn't functioning properly. And that actually, in the long run, doesn't do the body any good. Mm. Talk about that stuff as well. But it took me about a year and a half for my goiter. I had a large goiter. If you look on my website and in my book, I had this large goiter. It took about a year and a half for the goiter to go away and 2 years for the thyroid to normalize. And during that time, my thyroid went from hyper to hypo to Hashimoto's. So the whole time it was actually an autoimmune condition. That's why it was vacillating back and forth from hyper to hypo. And I was anxious and I was depressed and I was fat and then I was thin and it was just going all over the place. And that's what happens with autoimmune conditions. They kind of, they flow in and out and they're on one side and then on the other side. So had I radiated my thyroid, I would have never known that I actually had an autoimmune condition.
That's so interesting. One of my friends just went through that actually. And they never asked her one question about her diet as well.
No.
Yeah.
It's not, they haven't been taught that. A lot of the medical schools are funded by the pharmaceutical companies. So they're taught, okay, this condition comes, you give this medication. And they're taught a lot of other things as well, the physiology of the human body, which is fascinating. But they're not taught to look at the symptom and then go underneath it and say, why is that symptom coming up?
Yeah.
What is out of balance in the diet, in the lifestyle, in the consciousness? What's out of balance inside this human person so that their body is shifting out of balance? Because, the human body, I'm a firm believer, is perfectly designed. Perfectly designed. The universe says, here you go, human body. Yeah, you got everything that you need, all your organs and your glands, and it's going to function. And then we kind of go, it's not functioning. I'll take this organ out. Let's take that out. Let's get rid of that gallbladder. We're so willy-nilly about it. Mm-hmm. And I think that we need to really honor the body and say, okay, I was given this body. What am I doing? What am I doing that's causing it to get out of balance? And for me, I knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
I was working at MTV Networks. I was a chronic dieter. I was drinking and partying all day and all night. I was 15 cups of coffee a day, sugar all day long. I knew I was eating crap and living a lifestyle that was crap.
Yeah.
denial.
No, and I think so many of us can relate to that. You know, so we were talking about this before I hit record, you know, my friends and I joke about like their 20s. We were just like constantly like dumping on our liver. And then in our 30s, we're like, why do I feel so tired? Why can't I like get out of bed? Like, why do I like just don't have the motivation? And we're like, oh, we're just getting older, but we're not old. None of us are old.
And you're, yeah. Right. You're a little old, right? But in your 30s, you're not old.
No, but exactly. You know, so I think like so often, you know, a lot of times too, women get misdiagnosed when you're feeling low and depressed. You know, oftentimes doctors aren't looking at the thyroid for
well,
that.
A lot of times they prescribe antidepressants.
Yeah. Which is definitely not going to help if you have a thyroid condition. Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about the thyroid a little bit more, you know. So it took about a year and a half for it to kind of heal, which is amazing. What did you do? Like what kind of things did you change for that to happen?
Well, basically everything. You know, like I was a chronic dieter, like I said. I used to wake up in the morning and I would have a bagel with nothing in it, and I would have coffee, and I would have, you know, aspartame, NutraSweet, and all the crap that you could imagine. And so I basically stopped eating food that was pseudo food, you know, packaged food, processed food. And I started eating real food, like the kind of stuff that you get from your local farm and, you know, like beans, vegetables, sea vegetables, fruits, nuts and seeds, fish, you know, like I started to eat like food and right, you know, I just like food. And it was weird because I had not really eaten food for many, many years. You know, I was, like I said, chronic dieter. So there was always this deprivation of food. Didn't eat fats, didn't eat this, didn't eat that, didn't eat, you know, there was can't eat this, can't eat that. And then I was, you know, exploding into the world. So I changed my diet and I started eating fresh, wholesome, naturally prepared, organic, clean, seasonal local food. So that was a huge switch from what I was eating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had so much more energy.
Oh my God. It was ridiculous. Like I used to have to have 4 cups of coffee a day, like literally to make it through my day. And when I started to eat food, I started to notice initially so many things started changing. First of all, the cystic acne that would pop up here and here, that disappeared. My hair stopped falling out. My nails, which were like paper thin, Katie, they were paper thin. They started to get strong. And I was like, wow, what is that? Why are they getting so strong? You know, and I used to go to the bathroom every day. Whereas when I was dieting, I would go to the bathroom every 3 days.
Right? Oh, wow.
Struggle. Yeah. Cause when you're not eating food, you know, your body's going, I'm not going to go poop.
Exactly. Yeah. It's got nothing.
I got nothing to move this stuff through. You know, and I started sleeping through the night, which was odd because I used to go to sleep and then wake up and urinate 3 times a night. And I know today from studying, you know, alternative medicine and natural healing and Japanese medicine and Chinese medicine, you know, getting up to urinate all night long is showing that the body's in a state of deficiency. You know, in the bladder is not strong. It's very weak. As well as getting up is your lungs are upset. You know, like you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you have this deficiency happening. If you can't get to bed until 1 o'clock, it's showing that the gallbladder and the liver are aggravated, right? So all of this stuff, all of that stopped happening. And I would go to bed and I would sleep and I would wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'd be like, wow, I just slept through the whole night. So of course the next day I had more energy. And you know, I haven't, like nowadays I'll have a cup of coffee if I go to a wedding, you know, like, and it's always decaf because if I have an actual cup of coffee, I'll get racy in my heart.
Yeah. Your body's like, I don't want it anymore.
It doesn't because I really have a lot of energy now. Where before it was a struggle. I needed so many external things to give me energy because I was exhausted.
Yeah.
Right? So this, like when we look at the thyroid, we think, well, it's the thyroid's fault that I'm exhausted and my hair is falling out, my nails are weak. You know, it's because I have a faulty thyroid, but that's not actually the truth. The truth is something is happening within the diet or the lifestyle or even the exercise plan that is causing the thyroid to go out of balance, right? So once you start to get your food and your lifestyle in a healthier track, then the thyroid goes, oh, I'm getting what I need. I can work this body.
Yeah.
I can get energy going. I can start the process of digestion. I can get the cells moving. Yeah.
No, it's incredible. So many people that share their stories with us, you know, it's just the healing part of it. And, you know, so often we're growing up and that we eat what we grew up eating.
That's right.
And then we don't really know that there's another way. And I love that you could sleep through the night living in New York City.
Oh yeah, totally.
Like that's a huge feat. That's amazing. You know, it's not the quietest place in the world, but yeah. For your body to actually go to sleep and stay asleep shows that your body had everything it needed to do that.
Yeah, because in order to sleep through the night, you actually need energy. You need internal energy. So a lot of times I'll find, because I have a lot of clients with thyroid disease and adrenal fatigue and all that stuff. The people that are suffering with adrenal fatigue, which precedes thyroid disease, which we can talk about, they can't sleep. They can't sleep in the night because they're exhausted. So you would think, well, I'm exhausted. I should be able to sleep. But if you're exhausted and you're in a state of deficiency, your body doesn't have the energy to go to sleep.
It don't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't have the energy to relax. So it goes into like hyper mode. It goes in, I'm exhausted. I can't sleep. It goes, you know, like immediately that sympathetic nervous system is still on. You're on hyperdrive. The adrenals are overstimulated and sleep won't come.
Yeah, so, that happened to me, not the whole time I lived in New York, but for the beginning of the time I lived in New York, I had crazy insomnia, but I was so tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also underneath your feet, you know, in New York, are all these subway systems. Right? You have this electrical energy underneath our feet. And I love Chinese medicine. I just love it. And in the bottom of our feet, there's a kidney 1 point, and this is where you're receiving your energy from the earth, right? So if you look at the earth, and I know I'm going crunchy granola here.
Do it.
The earth that we're living on, right? There's energy within the earth that causes everything to grow, right? All the plants, all that, everything is moving and growing and sprouting up, right? That's an energy that's within the earth. And we have a point on the bottom of our feet called the kidney 1 point where this energy comes up into the human body. And we have energy all over us and everywhere. But this is a specific point. So when you're in a city that is covered in concrete, and underneath that concrete is this electrical wiring that's causing this energy to be shifting all over the place, that is exhausting in itself because you're not receiving that form of energetic nutrition directly from the earth, right? So for me to stay healthy in New York, and what I advise my clients and my students who live in big cities, they have to get into a park. They have to get into a park and get away from the traffic and the noise and all the hustle and the bustle and get into a park and just walk. Just walk. It's a different pace. And you leave all of the negative ions, right?
Mm-hmm.
From nature. And it really helps with all the stuff that we're surrounded by.
No, I love that. Yeah, I feel like when I moved to California, I was sleeping for the first year like 12 hours a night. And I was like, what is going on? I've never slept like this in my life. And I think it was because I was walking barefoot a lot. I was by the ocean.
Oh,
I was in nature. But yes. my husband was like, is something wrong? I'm like, no, I feel great. I just want to sleep all the time. And it took me about a year. And then I got back to kind of my 8 hours. But I really did notice a huge shift and change.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good for you. And good for you for walking barefoot. My gosh, good girl.
Yeah, you know, gotta be with the other people that are barefoot.
That's right.
I kind of wanted to go back for a second and talk about, you know, the adrenal part first, you know. So if people are listening, you know, a lot of times it just shows up in exhaustion, you know, but I think adrenal fatigue has been a word that a lot of people are talking about and sharing, but what are some signs that women that are listening should be aware of so they can kind of heal that part first so it doesn't turn into the thyroid condition?
Yeah, so like a lot of times people will say to me, listen, I've been exhausted for 3 years or 4 years, and then I got diagnosed with thyroid disease, right? So for 3 years or 4 years or however long they've been running themselves into the ground, they've been exhausting the adrenals, right? They've been exhausting their energy. And then only, you know, like towards the end of that exhaustion, does the thyroid go, I can't take it anymore, let's slow this body down. The person is not slowing down, I'm going to slow the person down, right? Because the thyroid's very smart. Yeah. If the body is depleted, exhausted, deficient, it'll say, listen, don't put so much energy out right now, right? Because if you do, you're going to kill this human being, right? Because the whole endocrine system is working together, yeah. right? It's a communication system. And all of your hormones are talking to each other, right? This hormone saying, okay, speed up the body. Okay, start the period. Okay, let's go. It's time for fertility. Okay, time for rest. Let's digest. All of these hormones are having these conversations through the endocrine system, which is sending out to all of your other systems in the body. And when the adrenals are being hit, right? Your adrenals are the batteries in the body. This is this is where you're, you know, like it's the response to stress. It's the response as soon as disease, right? It's that response that we have. It's really important that the adrenals are healthy. And in modern society, what we're doing is taxing our adrenals, overstimulating our adrenals. We're exhausted. What do? We don't rest. Coffee.
Yep.
Right? I got to do this. I got to do that. And we're doing it to our kids as well. Kid finishes school. Let's get him into soccer thing, and let's go over there and let's get him into the other thing. And right?
I see a lot of exhausted kids.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. We're doing the same thing to them. We're putting them into this 24-hour rotation, and it's not normal. You know, like we need rest. Human beings need rest. We can't just keep going. And the way that the adrenals are supported and the kidneys as well is through rest, right? Yeah. They need the nourishment, right? They need good fats. They need good proteins. They need all that physical nourishment, but they also need rest. And if the body doesn't get the rest that it needs, it's going to be on overdrive. And that will eventually knock out the thyroid.
Okay.
The thyroid will eventually say, okay, I'm going to stop this body from going so fast. Let's slow it down.
Yeah. So I guess if people are feeling tired for a few years, right, they're probably like, Katie, Andrea, I've always been tired. What's the difference? You know, when I was having adrenal issues, I really felt like I've been like hit by a truck.
Yeah.
Like I could not get out of bed. I felt like heavy almost. I don't know how to describe it other than like, I usually feel light. I can get out of bed, but it was like this heavy kind of ness that I really didn't want to get out of bed. But for people that are listening that are like always tired, what, besides kind of that heavy feeling, is there anything else like that exhaustion looks like?
Yes. So like exhaustion, if your internal environment is exhausted, in the white of your eyes, it'll be red, right? So you see this after somebody goes out at night, you know, drinking and they're, you know, really smacked heavy, hurting their liver hard. They wake up the next day completely bloodshot in the eyes, but it's showing an internal exhaustion as well.
Mm.
As well as when somebody has, you see that tired look where they're like, they're drooping eyes. Right? The eyes are like drooping, you know, like normally the eye is sitting in the center, But if there's an exhaustion happening, the eyes kind of float up a little bit, right? So they'll have this little white underneath. And you see that with people that are actually on drugs. You see when people are getting older, right? That white kind of floats up a little bit. It's just showing that the nervous system is really exhausted.
Oh, that's so fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, you'll see it like in the extreme cases, you'll see a real lot of white when someone's about to die, like two, three days before death, you'll see the eyes very rolled up, you know, like white under the eyes. Just go into nursing homes and you can see that a lot.
Yeah.
So that's another sign of exhaustion. Another sign is the hair falling out, right? If the body's, and also the eyebrows falling out, right? If the body is exhausted and not getting what it needs, hair is not important.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. They're like, we need to keep you alive. Yeah. We're not going to grow hair.
Everybody hair. So everybody always blames the thyroid, but it's really not the thyroid's fault when the hair falls out or if the nails are weak, right? This is, your nails are a protein discharge. So if you're not absorbing protein because the body's under stress or it's too weak or whatever, this is going to get weak, right? Nails are going to get weak.
Yeah.
So there's so many ways to see if you're exhausted. Another thing is, like I said, you can't sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
right? Can't sleep. You have disrupted sleep. Or some people are lucky enough to crash and then they sleep all the way through and then they do not wake up refreshed.
Yeah.
And when they don't wake up refreshed, this is showing that the liver is compromised.
Okay.
Right? So when you're dealing with any hormones, right, the liver's job is especially for thyroid hormone, the large majority of the conversion of T4 to T3, which is the inactive thyroid hormone to the active thyroid hormone, T4 to T3, happens in the liver. Like it happens in the bones, happens in the muscles, but the majority happens in the liver. So if the liver is compromised, because the liver has to build and break down these hormones, right? Any hormone that's used in your body, the job of the liver is you got to break it down. Once it's used, and we got to get it out. So the fat-soluble hormones are going to go through the bile and out through the digestive system. And the water-soluble hormones are going to be broken down and they're going to go through the kidneys and the excretory system. But the liver's job is to make sure that those hormones are getting broken down, right? So whenever you have any hormonal issues, no matter what it is, thyroid disease, PCOS, PMS, anything that you have going on, like menopause, even with teenagers, right, when their hormones are going crazy, right? If the liver is not healthy, then they're going to be exhausted, completely wiped out. The liver's job in Chinese medicine is to wake the body, right? It's the rising energy in the body. And if the liver is congested, exhausted, overworked, you're not getting out of bed. Or you're getting out of bed and you're like,
right? No, definitely. Yeah. And I feel like so often I hear women saying that they need a glass of wine to fall asleep. That because it's kind of, it slows them down, it calms their body. But, you know, having wine every night is probably one of the reasons why they're not getting sleep. Like, it's kind of this like crazy up and down roller coaster, right?
Yeah, totally. And, you know, like having the glass of wine is not the worst thing in the world unless if their liver is, and I understand why they're having it, exactly what you said.
Yeah.
They need to relax, they need to calm down, they need to chill out, and they don't know how to get there on their own.
Yeah.
They don't know how to breathe, sit, you know, put their feet up, read a book, have a cup of chamomile tea, right? You know, something calming. They don't know how to do that. That's not part of our, it's not part of our world anymore. We need hard substances, right? We need drugs, we need pharmaceutical medicine, we need alcohol. And I'm not saying that alcohol is a bad thing. In moderation, it's totally fine.
Yeah.
But I find that the women that are taking wine every night, those are the ones that have more hot flashes, right? In their, their 50s. Those are the ones having way more hot flashes because the liver has to process all of that alcohol and sugar as well as break down the hormones and get everything back in order. So it's like a double whammy, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. And I feel like a lot of my mom friends are the ones that like, because they've been running around after their kids all day, like they're like, the wine is what calms me, but I really love your like sit down, breathe, do something to calm your body down. What else can we do to support the liver? You know, especially because it's such an important part of keeping our hormones and our body just feeling and running smoothly. Like what else can we do to support that?
Oh my God, there's so much stuff. You gotta love your liver. I'm telling you right now, you gotta love your liver. You know, like one of the things that I suggest to my students and my clients is that they do a liver cleanse one time per year, every year in the spring. Every year, as long as you're alive on the planet, every single year, do some type of liver cleanse. So if you look at every religion around the world, right? Mm. In the springtime, they did some type of fasting. The Orthodox Greeks, they would fast for 30 days with no oil, no animal products, you know, only vegetables. Right, only vegetables, like really like a vegan almost diet. Fish, I think they would have light fish as well. In Catholicism, you know, they would fast for 40 days in the spring, right? Fast for 40 days. Also in Jewish tradition, they fast. In Muslim, they fast. So they pull certain things out of the diet. And what happens is because the liver is also not only responsible for the breakdown of the hormones, the liver is directly responsible for how well you're digesting your food. So when we take food out, you're giving your body a liver cleanse, like a fast. When you take heavy foods out, take fats out, take meats out, just do vegetables and fruits for 2 weeks, you know, or something like that. Juicing, right? This is where I really recommend people, you know, do the juicing thing. Like, do it for 2 weeks of your life. It's not going to kill you.
And you mean juicing while eating other food, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Okay. Because a lot of people are like doing the extreme juice cleanses where they're not eating
for multiple
days. So add the juice in.
Add the juice in. Yeah. If you have a strong body, then you could do a juice cleanse, you know, for 3 to 5 days with nothing else. People that do them for 30 days, I think is way too long. If you do not have a strong body, then do not do a juice cleanse with nothing else. That's not going to serve your body. But fasting traditionally was no food at all, right? So that's also, and you see the big resurgence of fasting now. They're doing fasting for cancer and fasting for brain health and all that stuff. So there's a lot of merit to that because it does free up the liver, right? The liver doesn't have to work on those processes of digestion, of all the other stuff. It could just do the cleanup in the body, which is what we need. We need to clean up.
We need to clean up more than dump.
it's true.
Are there any specific foods that are really good for the liver besides
all of your leafy greens are great for the liver, especially the bitter leafy greens. So the bitter flavor stimulates the production of bile as well as also starts the production of the pancreatic juices. So parsley, kale, collard greens, all of those bitter greens, you know, like most people, they'll go to a restaurant and they'll have parsley on the side of the plate and they just push it over there. And I'm like,
please.
Cilantro is another great one. You know, all of those green herbs, rosemary, go-to cola. That's another good one. But that one is more Ayurvedic and you won't get it fresh here in America generally. You get it dried. But another great herb for the liver, for regenerating liver cells, actually, is milk thistle. And it's been used for thousands of years. You know, definitely put it into your diet in the spring. Red clover. My gosh, I love red clover. Beans, another good one for the liver, believe it or not. Beans are supportive for the kidneys. In general, in Chinese medicine, beans support the kidneys, but the kidney is supporting the liver. Right? Building the fluids. You know, I think that beans are underrated. You know, I like beans.
I like beans too.
Especially the ones who are trying to get pregnant, right? I always tell them to have beans because beans are, they're the food of fertility, right? You plant one bean and seed pods will grow that are loaded with more fertile seeds. So like traditionally in more than one culture around the world, beans were used for fertility.
And I love that you bring that up because so many women are doing diets that don't let them eat the beans.
Yeah, they do paleo.
Yeah, paleo. And especially if you're trying to get pregnant or just supporting your hormones.
Yes.
Eat the beans, ladies.
Yes, eat the beans, ladies. You know, it's funny. I have a thyroid program. And in my thyroid program, the girls always get pregnant. And they're like, Andrew, you have to change the thyroid program to call the pregnancy program. And I'm not. But it's just that they start to eat foods that support fertility because they're supporting their hormones.
Yeah.
Right? They're supporting their hormones. They're supporting their liver because all of this is helping the thyroid. And then when this gets healthy and the hormones become balanced, of course, here comes the pregnancy. Here comes the baby. The body is what it needs. Right? It gets energy. You know, like energy, fertility is energy, right? If you don't have any energy, a baby's not coming. There's no baby going to come into that body.
Yeah. And I think we forget that. I think because we are just go, go, go all the time. And we've been kind of brought up into like cross things off your list society. We've kind of forgotten that the body needs to be in a state of health.
Yes.
For things to flourish, whatever your goals might be, even just to have the energy, if you want to get pregnant, if you just want to sleep through the night, which I think is a lot of people, probably both of our clients are like, I just want to like get a good night's sleep. Yeah. And all of that is just kind of coming back to real food, which I think is something that all of us could add a little bit more into, you know. And I think it's interesting. I don't know what your take is on this. I've always, the cilantro has always tasted like dish soap to me. And a friend of mine was like, Katie, it tastes like dish soap because you need more of it. So I started eating more of it just to kind of like, cause I was like, she's like, your body probably needs it. Mm-hmm. So I started adding it to my salads and different things, and it doesn't taste like just dish soap anymore.
Oh, that's so funny.
Isn't that crazy?
It's a very cleansing herb. You know, it's a healing herb. It's a cleansing herb. It's wonderful for the liver. It's rich in chlorophyll. It helps to draw mercury out of the system. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, that's a great story.
Yeah. And it was so interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. I just never ate it because it never tasted good. And then the more I ate it, the more I was like, oh, I actually like this.
It's very refreshing.
Yeah, it's very refreshing. You know, so I feel like for everyone listening, you know, even if things don't taste great at first, like keep just slowly, don't force it, but slowly a little bit. I only had a little bit of that every other day and it was okay. And now I can enjoy it. So if you've been avoiding beans forever, like slowly start adding them back into your diet so that you feel comfortable doing it too.
Yeah, and make sure they're cooked properly, you know, and I like to have my beans with seaweed because it's more moistening. It helps to lubricate the intestinal, you know, your intestines with that mucilage, because seaweed is amazing for both cleansing and for supporting the system so that it becomes more moist, meaning, you know, like the baby wants a warm, moist environment. If you're too dry, the baby won't come either. You need to be able to absorb your fats, put some seaweed in there, put some burdock, put some good quality foods in there, so that you can absorb your fats and beans, of course, like I said, one of my favorites. I mean, there's so many foods for fertility. My gosh.
Yeah.
My gosh. You know, and I also recommend, which is a traditional food, I also recommend liver, you know, chicken livers. You know, for those people that can't stand the bigger livers, like me, I can't stand the big giant livers. They're horrifying.
I'm not a liver person either, but I've been experimenting.
Like, you know, like sauteed chicken livers or a chicken liver mousse, so rich in B12, iron, folate. It's got all of the stuff that they put into those prenatal pills. You know, and in traditional cultures, when a woman was pregnant, she was given the liver from the animal that the tribe would kill.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And you know, like when we take the prenatal pills that have the iron, the extra iron, which is naturally found in liver, and it's constipating. So many clients will be like, you know, I can't poop. And you know, it's because they're on liver pills. But if they had, you know, like chicken liver mousse on a piece of sourdough bread or something like that, you know, they're going to get the fiber, they're going to get the B12, they're going to get the iron, they're going to get everything, the copper, everything that they need.
Exactly. Yeah. And from like the, which is important too for hormones. You need to go to the bathroom. And I think it's so fascinating, right? Like what people used to do, right? There was a rhyme and reason for it. And kind of looking at our ancestors and using kind of what they were doing and how helpful it was. I mean, they were definitely had a lot, a different approach to pregnancy and fertility and everything like that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So, and they eat a lot of shellfish as well.
Yeah. How do you eat your seaweed?
Well, I put it into my beans, right? So tonight, okay. I had some beans that were left over in the fridge. I took all my summer vegetables. I put the beans with the seaweed. I cooked it. I sauteed some carrot, onion, celery. I had some summer squash, some tomatoes.
Oh, I want to come over.
Put that all together in there. And then my husband had some leftover ham that he brought home. He works at this a butcher shop that only has, they source natural meats and all that stuff. So he had this little piece of ham. I chopped that up. I put that in there.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
It's delicious.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Well, everyone, that's another amazing way to cook your food and have beans and add the seaweed in too.
Yeah, totally. And everything else that you need, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm a big believer in like one pot meals. If I could put it in one pot, I'm happy.
Me too.
Yeah.
And it saves time too for everyone that's like, how am I going to do this? Like, throw it all in together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. I feel like we could talk forever about all this stuff. So I want to kind of share with you people who are listening. She gave us an amazing bundle to kind of try some things. So she's got some recipes on there. She's got a discount on her books and DVDs. And the best part is two free chapters of her book, Happy Healthy Thyroid, where she's really going to go a little bit more in detail on the thyroid and kind of how you can do that. And I really suggest probably getting the whole book if you do feel like really exhausted, if you're really looking for different approaches and ways, probably that your doctor isn't sharing with you. I don't want to be too, some doctors may or may not be, but you know, a lot of doctors are not talking about lifestyle and diet changes. And it really, I feel so much better with some of those changes that I did helping my adrenals and my thyroid and things like that. So.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting. Your summit is called Happy Healthy Hormones.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? I had no, yeah.
Happy Healthy Thyroid.
It's kismet. Yeah, and it's true. Like,
yeah, when your hormones are in balance, you're happy and healthy. You're generally feeling uplifted, bright, happy. You know, like when the hormones are out of balance, then, you know, the gloom and the doom and, oh, I have no energy. Right?
Yeah, and like people, you can, like people, I say this sometimes, like gray. When you look gray, like when there's no color in your face, you know, I'm always a little pink, but
you know,
that's also another sign too. When you're feeling gray and you're looking in the mirror, you know, we all could kind of. You don't want to be adding blush all the time.
That's right. You know, yeah. Like this is showing your skin is showing the health of your body. It's also showing the health of your blood. So it, you know, it sloughs off every 30 days. So the people that are gray, the circulation. And the energy is not coming up to the surface. It's trapped.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you can see when people are healthy. You can see it. You know, like, and you don't have to, like, I've seen people that are in their 80s and their 90s that have that glow.
Yeah.
They still have that glow and they are healthy and you can see it.
Yeah. It's so funny. I was on the subway the other day. And then people are so funny in New York. I was sitting there and this couple is literally right next to me and they were talking about my skin. And the husband was like, her skin is so gorgeous. And the wife's like, I wonder what she does. I was like, just sitting there and I turned around and I was like, well, I was sharing about how I eat as healthy as I can. And I was talking about eating avocados and they were like, wow. And it was just so funny because they were gray looking.
Oh yeah.
You know, and they're like, we want, and it was just like a funny, everyone on the train was looking like at us, like, what are they talking about?
What's you going were on? That beacon of light and they saw this vibrant energy and they said, I want what she's got.
Yeah.
I want that. I want that sparkle. I want that glow. How can I get it? So yeah. It's inspiring.
Thank you. Yeah. And you are as well. This is amazing. So much information. Easy things to kind of incorporate as well. So honored and thankful and grateful that you were here with us and sharing your wisdom. So thank you so much, Andrea.
Oh, thanks for having me, Katie.
Thank you. And thank you everyone for listening in and be sure to come back tomorrow for another amazing woman sharing her health journey and how to help you feel happy and healthy in your body, in your life as well. So thank you and have a good night.